It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
We are brought to you. We are powered by. We get faster each and every week because of Pinnacle Racing. Thank you so much, Jimmy Blair. And
yes.
Jimmy's done some great interviews with us on Skate Talk. So by all means, go to our Podomatic page. Go to our iTunes account. Search Skate Talk, subscribe to our podcasts, listen to what Jimmy has to say, listen to what all of our guests have to say. And Jimmy, thank you, and Pinnacle Racing, thank you so much for all the support for making this possible. You can find Jimmy, he's super easy to get a hold of course, Pinnacle Racing on Facebook, Jimmy Blair on Facebook, and PinnacleRacing.com. Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out PinnacleRacing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers-themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at PinnacleRacing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like 5 ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And Coach, big week ahead of us on Skate Talk.
Man, we go right from last week having Jimmy Blair in here, the man, and we talked a little bit about Spring Fling and a skater that I met at Spring Fling, actually. We have Houston Trim on the line. How are you, my friend?
Doing well, doing well. Awesome. Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, no problem.
How you guys been?
Fantastic. It's been good. The weather, like where we are, we're in Indiana. The weather is actually
horrible.
It's gotten better. There have been some small windows in between the torrential downpours where you can go out and skate. So you have to be ready. It's one of those where the wheels have to be on. You almost have to have your skin suit already on.
Your wetsuit.
Yes, your wetsuit. Rain has stopped. Boom, I'm outside. Then but about a mile
Houston
later,
doesn't have that
back.
Problem. He's all the way down in Georgia. So he's got nice weather all the time. Isn't that right?
I wish I was in Georgia. I'm actually in North Carolina. However, I did enjoy a nice, beautiful bike ride today for you guys in the rain.
Oh, nice. Nice. I thought you lived down in the Georgia area. I didn't realize you were up there in North Carolina.
Nope, I live in the mountains of North Carolina, in Asheville, to be exact.
Wow.
So how does that play into, like, your hill training? Are you able to, with that elevation, put the skates on and train on the hills, or is it something you just do on the bike?
That's on the bike. I am fortunate we have an old racetrack. Used to be a dirt track paved over, so it's a circled bank. It's 600 meters, but it's the only downfall is it's a constant bank of 5 to 8 degrees. So that makes it tough to skate. Sometimes I do find some streets to climb, so to speak. I can get up to the top on my skates and catch a ride in the car on the way back down.
That is the way to do it right there. I like where his head is.
Yeah. The only hills we got are the ones that go over the overpasses, and they're not very high.
I mean, yeah, like if we want to, like if it's going to be working on some hills, okay, well, I'm going to get on this highway overpass and just go up and down and up and down. There
right.
really is no, where we are, it's flat.
You'd have to go up and down 30 times to match one of his hill climbs.
Yeah, it really is flat here. And what we think is hilly, when we get down to Georgia, the Carolinas, it's not hilly.
Yeah, so, that's the same for me. Where I live is mountains. Out of my driveway is a 1 mile climb each way.
Oh, here
no
we go.
No matter where you want to go, if it's on a bike or skates, anything.
Yeah, he had to walk uphill to school both ways,
home and back. No matter what way I go on my bike or my skates, it's uphill with a headwind. That's what I always say.
That's right.
So when did you start skating? When did you actually put some skates on and start skating, Houston? Because I don't think it was till later in life. Is that right?
Yeah. I skated as a kid during session, you know, like all the kids I grew up with. That fizzled out. I remember that was when inlines came out. I remember thinking my parents could never afford that. Basically dropped it. Grew up a little bit. My brothers took up speed skating, traveled to Nationals for several years. I was raising kids at the time, couldn't even think about it. But about when I was 29, decided to go to session again with my daughters, and just as a hobby. They picked it up fairly quickly, skating. I remembered how to skate and fall down, and that progressed. And eventually they were asked to join a speed team in 2013, and it went from there. I mean, they started skating. People were asked, you know, I was asked about equipment, buying equipment from other people. Didn't really know what I was buying. My brother had been out of it so long, he couldn't give me any advice, and I was really getting one-sided advice. In 2013, probably around October, a guy offered me a pair of vanilla inlines for $50, and I bought them and started falling immediately.
So let me tell you this story real quick before I'm going to put you on hold for a second. I had this skater came out. He starts, and again, you buy what you got to buy, and that's fine. But this kid came out. And he starts skating, and he's falling everywhere. He's a young guy. He's falling. And I'm like, man, this guy's really got the drops. It's like, you know, I almost feel bad. Like, you want to take up a different sport because, I mean, you're just all over the place here. Can't control anything. So one day, it just so happens that Christian and Jared both tried on his brand new vanilla skates that he had. And Christian struggled to turn an 11-second lap. And on our floor, an 8-second lap is like the fast laps, right? 9 seconds are fast. 8 seconds are the fastest laps. He's struggling to turn an 11. Jared gets on. He struggles to turn an 11. And then I made that distinction that although the vanillas look good, for most people, they probably just don't perform quite well. So,
yep.
And it's, you know, you pay $50 for a pair of skates and you get a $50 pair of skates. So I guess that's how that works. So you got your vanillas. You got your falls, and you're like, what, 9'2" or something like that? So it's a long way down?
Right, 6'6" is a long ways to fall.
You know it's coming. You know the impact is going to be there.
It's there.
Oh, and it was there for a couple of years. I can't even remember how long it took me to get through 5 laps without falling at least 3 times.
That's pretty impressive. I thought my falls were a thing of record. That takes it to the whole new level right there.
Oh, the days that I would go and skate and land in the carpet, the toadstools around the rink, try to figure out how to catch myself. You know, luckily, as big as I am, in the years of skating, I've only taken out a few people, and it was actually when I finally got some form to skate, and it wasn't when I could fall on top of somebody and just crush them.
So you actually get good form, and
you got some speed. Now you got some speed going for this fall.
The bowling pin effect actually happens.
That's right, because you can get in the way.
So what was it like then? So you end up, you've got the vanilla skates, you're just getting started, you're falling here, you're falling there, you're falling 3 times in a 5-lapper. What was that point like when it was like, oh, wait, I actually can do this? Kind of talk us through that.
Well, it was, you know, I had heard the vanillas. Once I got on them, I realized that there was no support, you know. And at that time, I was 6'6". 230 pounds. So as soon as I learned there was no support, I found somebody that bought and sold used stuff, ended up moving over to Legino boot that gave a little more support. Mm-hmm. And I was actually finally able to turn the corner. I could always go fast, but turning was just terrible. And so once I got that boot and started to realize that I could skate, we went down to the spring fling. My daughters had already skated several league meets and things like that, and this was going to be like the first invitational they were going to get to skate at. I had been skating, I think, on world record wheels at the time, But I was curious, you know, I was trying to figure out what my kids needed. So somebody had mentioned Matter Wheels, so I bought a set of those, came to a spring fling. Next thing you know, because I now had support, I could get even more speed. Well, that particular year at the spring fling, I had 7 total races. I think five were division, 2 were relays. No, 6 were division and 1 relay.
Okay.
5 out of 7 races I fell, because now not only did I have support and I could turn, but the wheels that I was on and the floor, I mean, it's a fast floor.
Yeah.
Just turn that upside down. Now the fatigue was killing me. When I would get exhausted, I would just eat the dirt.
But you know what, though? You got back up and you got in your next race.
That's right.
And you just kept doing
it. That's right. And that's what I was out there to do. I started skating with my kids, and I started buying equipment to test it for my own kids, so that way I could give them the best equipment. I didn't want them losing because they didn't have good equipment. So
been there.
As I could test it and find out, and then put them on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the ultimate lesson is to teach them not to give up, not to quit.
Right.
So many kids will fall down and they'll just quit. And so by being out there, falling down, getting back up, no matter how painful, and just continuing, may show either my kids or another kid that, look, he fell and got back up and kept going.
Yeah. And what a lot of people probably don't know about you, Houston, and I've had an opportunity to get to know you over the past few years, is that you have an extremely large heart for skating, and not just for your team or just for your family, for everybody that's on wheels out there, given their determination, heart, and effort. You appreciate it, and you applaud it, and you also vocalize how much it impresses you. Every time I see you, you always have very, very positive things to say about everybody around you. You got encouraging words to kids that you maybe seen have a fall or finished last or didn't quite do as good as you thought they were going to do. And I just think that that's one of those things where I wish that more people could have that same go-get-it attitude, and not so much the animosities towards, you know, this team and that team or rivals, and, you know, because you skate for the Mars and I skate for the Venus, you know, we hate each other just because. And you have this attitude of, I swear if you were on the Mars or the Venus team, you'd be friends with everybody on the other team, just because you're not going to let animosity slow you down or hinder you within the sport, and you try to keep a positive spin on everything within the sport. So I think that deserves some recognition and some appreciation, and I'm giving it today. So I thank you for everything that you've done for my skaters every time I've seen you talk to them, and for the many other coaches and skaters that are out there that have had the privilege to know Houston and experience some words from him. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and I'm glad to be able to do that. I did, as my daughters and I started skating, we did run into that where people didn't like people from other teams, and I grew up not to dislike anybody. You know, my dad taught me that everybody's created equal. You know, you're all here, everybody's got a plan or whatever. And so as I went through some of this exact stuff with the girls and seeing other kids go through it, being influenced not to attend certain events or, you know, to be friends with certain people, that's not what I wanted the girls to be around. And we eventually moved to another team, and, you know, and then we fought the battles ourselves.
Yep.
But at the end of it, you know, I showed them that this is where we want to be. This is where we were. And so every time, I mean, I see kids, I watch the videos on Facebook, you know, the Facebook live videos from other meets, you know, I get the chance to see them. And yeah, I went through the falls and things. I didn't just come up and just be good at it. And so with that, I know that it takes hard work in this sport. And sometimes the ones that are going through the hard times might be the ones that'll be on top eventually.
Yeah.
All they need at times is a little bit of encouragement. It's so easy for parents to sit on the sidelines and say, go faster, but until they strap those skates onto their feet yeah. and they hit that corner and listen to somebody say, go faster or move up, yeah. and they can't, you know, it's almost like, how is this even physically possible?
Yeah.
And it's not until then until they really get the appreciation for the hard work that it takes for the sport.
Yeah, and I've had that same thing where, like, you know, you have a parent on the side, and they'll pull me aside, you know, later we'll be talking about their child's output or effort in a particular practice or maybe a meet or a race or whatever, and they'll say, you know, I don't think little so-and-so is really giving it their all. And I just look at them and I go, well, why don't you put some skates on and come out and let's see how much all you give me and let's see if you think you're really giving me your all. And they just look at me, right. And I said, you know, just because they didn't win or just because they may have had a bad practice, you think they didn't put their all in. Well, their foot's hurting right now. And sometimes their all might be 50% because that's all their body's going to let them give, you know, and you have to recognize that. So that's very interesting you said that. And how could anybody not take a solid advice from someone that they got to look up to?
That's right.
Houston towers over everybody
people at the events that we attend.
I mean, it's got to be, especially because what you had said, you're 6'6", right?
With 125s on.
Oh my gosh! Wow! Yeah,
he's got the he's got the stilts on top of being tall.
I think I come in right at 7'1" with 125s on.
I'm dying to know then.
So, what's the air like up there?
Yeah, exactly. The rain hits you first before it hits the rest of us. So, competitors who are seeing you for the first time, whether it be at these invitationals or maybe someone at nationals, regionals, they've never skated against you or with you before. What's their reaction when they get on the line? They're like, oh my gosh. How do they react to that?
What?
I get a lot of that. I get a lot of wow, and they look up because most of the guys I think I skate against are around 5'10", you know, 5'8", something like that. You know, I've raced guys, one or two that's been 6 foot and a couple that's been 5 foot. And, you know, the reaction I get when I come to the line, you know, is this isn't fair. all kinds of reactions. And it's quite hilarious.
They're trying to make you start
a little bit of fun to the whole experience of all that we do.
They try and make you start on the second line.
Well, here's the thing is, let's be honest. Houston's legs stop where most men's shoulders start, okay? So, that's great. So you were on 110s originally, and you went to 125s. What was that transition like, and why did you actually go to that? I would think with your step that you have and your inseam, you would be able to push 110s perfectly fine and be able to accelerate and get a lot of speed out of them. Why did you go to 125s?
So when I was on 110s, and I had seen a picture of 125s come out, like, when I started skating. And I remember thinking, I would skate those if they came out, because they look like car rims. And I was like, man, how cool is that? So I guess it was Albuquerque in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
We were out there, I was skating on 110s. I think there was a couple people on 125s at that point. And I remember the announcer saying, or somebody had told me during my race that the announcer had stated that I should be on 125s. And, you know, knock on wood, I skate with the team that biggest, you know, celebrity, I would say, skate for matter. Michael Cheek. So I remember when he tested them and started skating them, I was like, hey, he's 6'3", I think.
Yeah.
If he can skate them, then I can skate them. And, you know, I kind of went through a period. I tried them. Of course, at this point in time, I still wasn't in a boot that was super stiff.
Uh-huh.
So when I got on them, I started falling again and found out that even the boot that I had then wasn't strong enough.
Yeah.
And plus my form, strength, you know, I had so much work to do.
Yeah.
But the roll on them things was mm-hmm. just incredible. Like the work that it cut out was a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't see that. They see that that some go faster, some can't. But with my leg length, you know, when I push them out, I can actually get the roll out of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, you know, there was a point in time I switched back to 110s.
Yeah.
And I finally went to a custom boot. And when I switched back to 125s, it was much better. And I said, you can't figure out how to use these things in a day. If you put them on today, you have to commit to using them for weeks and trying to iron out the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And since I came from an engineering background, I've worked in it with implants and things like that, I understand how the contact points of the wheels with the frames work. So I was able to understand frame placement and things like that much better, and also explain it to others. And so with that, you know, I just kept on progressing. And basically, I haven't switched. I think I switched back one time, put 110s on. I found out that I was not using my left leg because, like I said, they take a little bit of the work out. So if you drop back, you'll see what you lack. And if you can use that to your advantage and you can say, this is my weakness, now what am I going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And you make a plan to fix it. And then once you get that straightened out, then you can go back to the 125. And then that's when I really started to progress from there.
Gotcha.
I think one of the big issues is what happens is people would put the 125s on for the first practice, and it doesn't feel the same. It really doesn't. You know, everything is kind of off, and then the frustration sets in, and then it's like, I'm never going to skate these again, and they never want to go back into the 125s when, just like you said, Houston, it's a process, and you have to work at it, and you've got to commit to it versus one practice, I'm done, I'm never going back to it again.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, because I found for me, I never wanted to look back from the 125s. Oh, my gosh. Now, I know I struggled mightily from hundreds to 110s, and there was a lot of form issues, too. I put a lot of that blame on me, but the transition to 125s, after one day, it's like, I am never going back to the 110s again.
That's right. I mean, and a lot of it, I think, is, you know, when the 125s came out, there was nobody that offered up any information about mounting them, about changing the way they mounted. You know, I've read so much about the argument, you know, the wheels, the this, but pretty much everything comes back to form work. But the 125s are great. Outdoors, endurance stuff, you know, they give you that long-lasting roll on the flats. You know, sometimes people say they hinder on the hills. I like them on the hills. But on the downhill on the other side, they're great. You know, I've reached speeds that I didn't reach on 110s.
Mm-hmm.
You have less wheels touching the ground, so you have less friction.
Yeah.
You know, of course, some don't like to go that fast, but all in all, the 125s basically, if they're mounted correctly and mm-hmm. somebody gives them the time, they'll work.
I think in order for me to get up to Houston speeds, Boomer, I'm going to have to probably invest in some 237s.
Okay.
Because the 125s just don't give me near enough roll to keep up with Houston. He's
so
way too
like
fast.
You need to like double that.
Yeah,
you need to even go more than
250
that.
250 plus.
Inventing a brand new wheel.
Yes. Yes. And it would get me taller too, so I could at least look him in his chin.
Okay. All right. Yeah exactly.
That's where I'm at.
Exactly. So we just put the spring fling in the books, and we just had Jimmy Blair on the last episode of Skate Talk, kind of recapping the spring fling. And this season has really flown by. I know people at this point gearing up for regionals, gearing up for nationals. What's next for you? Like, what's your schedule, Houston, look like here in the upcoming weeks?
So I travel. Most people don't know, but I travel 6 hours round trip for practice, indoor practice, one day a week to practice with my team. I coach an hour and a half away, so I do get to go there. It's a beginner practice, intermediate skaters. So I plan to make the trip down to Greensboro. On Sundays up until regionals, we have, I think, 2 weeks before regionals. And then once we get through regionals, then I'll start making the round trip, the six-hour drive, probably twice a week to train for nationals. And in that, I'll add in my normal gym work, and I'm in the gym 4 days a week, And then I ride a mountain bike to try to help with foot speed. So, you know, a lot more training. I mean, currently I train, I've been training 5 days a week off skates. But I think I found a place up here actually on top of a mountain that's a school parking lot that I'm hoping to actually start doing some outdoor training at. And then get ready for nationals. And, you know, and nationals really at the end of the road. You know, a lot of people do take breaks after that. But after that, I'd like to attend the Duluth Marathon.
8A?
And, you know, 8A is, I may come, depending on schedules, because we do have five kids. And so we're constantly running for sports and things like that. But
yeah,
if I do, it will be a, probably the half distance. You know, I would love to say I could skate the 80 some miles it is, but yeah, that's tough. And this year I haven't gotten a chance to do as much outdoor training as I like, but I'm going to put it in because I really want to race the Duluth Marathon and, you know, hopefully be up there in the front group.
And Duluth is flat outside of the two hill climbs, the highway overpasses that you have to jump up toward the end. The one thing, and Coach, he's always, every guest, he's like, hey, so we'll see you at 8A. We're not going to see Coach at 8A, but he's hoping every guest will be there.
Yeah.
But the one thing,
Houston, you know why, though? Because I want them to see Jimmy, because Jimmy Blair is going to be at 8A skating. I heard that somewhere.
I think he's waiting for you to pony up the entry fee. So, Houston, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to tell you the biggest lie that they tell you about Athens to Atlanta, okay?
Go for it.
They always say, oh, yeah, all the elevation is out of the way by the time you get to Decula. So by the time you're at the 38-mile mark, oh, it's just it. That's the worst elevation. You're all done it. No, they are lying. You know when it's actually flat? Right when you get to the finish line. That's when it actually is flat.
It's essentially the Hurt Locker the entire way.
Yes.
Wow.
We go down there the first time, and they're like, oh, yeah, once you guys get to the 38-mile mark, I'm like, no, it lies.
I kid with Jimmy. I don't think I could ride my motorcycle that whole track, let alone skate it.
Yeah, it's hard enough on a car. We've driven the course, and it's like, man, you're just up
and
down.
Did you stop and eat a snack halfway through?
I did, yeah. Here's where they pulled over in someone's driveway shake. And had a snack, yeah.
Surely would have needed that, the snack. Yeah, you know, I did my first charity ride in 2014. It was a bike ride. I did it for Bike MS, and I skated along with another skater. And I'll never forget that first day we went out. We had 35 miles to skate, and I had asked my partner, hey, did you drive the course? And he was like, well, we drove the first part of it. So the first part of it, meaning the first 7 miles. And so we were skating great, you know. Cyclists come by, they're like, well, you know, once you get the first 11 miles out of the way, it's pretty easy from there. So we're like, okay, so we hit these hills wide open, like, let's get these hills out of the way. We hit the hills wide open. We would come to stop signs at the bottom of the hill. It was just treacherous. Get the 11 miles out of the way, we get to the rest area, we hear another cyclist tell one of their teammates, so are you ready for the real climbing? And I'm like, wait a minute. So I caught them for just a second. What do you mean by the real climb? They're like, oh, we're just getting started. They're like, now we really hit the climbs in the next 20 miles. And I'm saying to myself, you mean tell me I just killed myself and now I'm really going to die? But, you know, that goes right into indoor speed skating. When I first started, get to the line to race, and the guys would tell me, okay, we're going to take this 10 laps.
We're going nice to take this easy.
Cool. Okay, great. I can take it nice and easy because I can't even skate yet, right? You know? So I come off the line decently, and they just blow me out of the water. And that was when I figured out that everybody lies at the starting line.
Your best friend is your worst enemy when you hit that starting line.
Oh, I'm just tired today. I'm not feeling good.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they have the fastest start that you've ever seen them have.
Yeah. Man, my breathing's horrible.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I never, like, in terms of, hey, I never go up to anyone, hey, let's just kind of take it easy. I'm just like, whatever. You know, right. I don't want to be that guy who's saying that anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, and because honestly, then too, if I'm saying that, no one's going to believe me.
I tell them I'm going to bring it in dead last, and I don't lie.
That's hilarious. I played the mind game a couple times. Of course, it don't really ever work in my favor because for some reason I like to lead a lot of stuff, the longer stuff, and it ends up costing me. You know, towards the end of the race. But, you know, I raced in Orlando for the international meet, and I finally was able to put some, you know, strategy into the race.
Yeah.
And I got the chance to win the 20 lap, where normally I'm second or third because I choose to lead the 20 lap. So it pays off if you pay attention, and that's what I try to tell the kids. You know, if you pay attention to what's happening in the race and you see it firsthand, that's the best way. And this year I traveled to Invitational just for that experience because I lack what most of my competitors have been racing since they were kids. They've taken time off, they've come back, but they have that racing experience. They know what to do and when to do it. But me, I just started. So it's hard for competitors to say, this is what you should look out for, because they want to beat me too.
And so it comes down to, you definitely want to, especially in those longer races, you want to, you know, pace yourself, but you never want to let it be known that that's what you're doing.
That's right.
You know, I had the best strategy I ever heard. This was a buddy of mine, and I can't remember who it was. This was years ago. And I would skate with him quite a bit, so we would typically buddy up and do most of the event together. So I remember one time I was talking with him. I'm like, all right, so what do you think? What's the strategy? He was like, I'll let you shake the riffraff out. So every race, and you know, that's my mindset as well. Let's just shake the riffraff out.
Until you become the riffraff.
The whole goal is to never become the riffraff, though. That's the goal right there. Or if you do, make it far enough into the race where you're okay.
That's right. That's a big one.
Well, hey, I got a favor I need to ask of you.
What you got?
I know that you are a big man. However, we have been trying to get the other Piedmont big man on Skate Talk for years, and Mr. Cheek seems to always avoid and doesn't return my calls. He responds to me on Facebook and says, yeah, well, I'm busy on this. He's always either busy or not to be heard from. And I really want to get him on Skate Talk because I'd like to pick his brains a little bit. And can you put a good word in for us? Try to get him on the show.
Oh, I can definitely give it a shot. I know he is not one for speaking like that, but I will definitely give it a shot and see. I know he is busy.
Yeah,
I think I get to see him like once a month, maybe.
Wow!
I think I'll get to see him at a practice because he, you know, he now works a real job and and has life to contend with, you know, outside of skating. So,
yes.
But I'll definitely give it a shot. He's a great person to chat with, and definitely has loads and loads of information that people could use.
Hey, just tell him that Coach has a question. And that's all. I'll just leave it. Hey, Coach has a question for you.
Yes.
And it might last 30 minutes, but hey, we'll be that at that point. Be very vague, all right? Very vague.
So before we get out of here, because time to super flies fast, Houston, I got some advice for you, some coaching strategy for you for regionals.
Yep.
Skate fast and turn left.
That's exactly it. That's going to be my motto.
Words to live by. Yes, that always trips me up. I try and make that right turn, and I'm right into the stands.
Snack
it's
bar.
Never. I get good popcorn that way, but it's never a good deal. Well, Houston, thank you so much. You're always welcome to join us back on Skate Talk. Whenever you want to come and join us, just reach out to us anytime. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.